from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Say, I would assume, but I guess it's a committee. But at any rate,
yeah, because Steve Kerr didn't have the final say.
Right, but right. So she's one part of a committee.
I'm assuming so.
But yeah. She could have said, she could have been one member of the committee that said Caitlin Clark should have been on the team. You know, we don't necessarily
could have been.
You know, who knows, right? But she could have just said, listen, we stand by our decision. We think Ken's going to be great in time, and she's already showing that, but we felt like this was our best team to bring to Paris, and we stand by that. But instead, she's like, listen, I acknowledge it. You know, it was different then. She probably would be on there now. Because Cheryl Reeve, bro, would not say this. Cheryl Reeve would not say what Dawn Staley said. She doesn't have the humility to say it. And that's why I love Dawn. Because Dawn's humble, bro. Dawn is real.
They should have put her on the team in the first place.
I know.
You and Bo Monty that said she shouldn't have been on were ridiculous from the get-go. And now using this idea that, oh, she's learned so much more in the last couple of weeks with the way she's playing, she was always going to be this player. She was always going to be that. I mean, Dawn Staley knows better than anybody that a rookie's going to take adjustment times and periods. I told Brad very early on when you were out, I said, it's going to settle down. We literally used this verbiage. The game is going to slow down for Caitlin Clark. And she's going to be just fine. And, hell, that's me saying it. Nobody understood it better than Dawn Staley.
Yeah.
Like, what you're going to face initially early on from the vets who are trying to, you know, bring you into this league and be tough on you. But eventually it was all going to settle down. It was ridiculous not to put her on the team in the first place because the USA is so far out ahead of the rest of the world that adding her on was not going to bring you down in terms of competition level. In fact, it was only going to increase exposure, opportunities, possibly for that team, for other members of the team, when you've got all eyes. Look at what she's done in the WNBA now. What do we say? They've had 17 games this year or 19 games of over 1 million viewers, hadn't done that previously. She's 17 of the 19. It would have brought more exposure. We would have cared more about a sport where, frankly, no, we're not going to care as much now because they're going to wipe the floor with these women. She should have been on the team from the get-go, and I thought it was thin. I took it the other way. I'm not hitting Dawn Staley with this because it's a whole committee, but the idea that, oh, she's so much better now in the last 2 to 3 weeks, like you didn't have an idea that was going to happen. Like that, like what are we talking about here? You should have picked her for on the floor. You should have picked her for off the floor reasons. She should have been on the team from the get-go. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, look, I think I was probably in the camp if she should have been on it, but I just wasn't outraged. Like, I wasn't, you know.
Well, you brought Bo Monty on here to put me in my place that day.
No,
you were right on his side. Yes, you did. You brought him on here so he could tell me why she shouldn't be on team, and I told both of y'all, I don't care that much.
Well, that's where I'm at with
it. I said, I don't care that much that we're the idea that we're bringing in some rookie who hasn't proved anything. What are we talking about? This is about eyeballs. And this team is so much better than everybody else in the world. Who cares if this is the least talented person on the team or she hasn't deserved? We all knew better than that, first off. She's probably not going to be the least talented.
Right.
But then this idea that, oh, what she's done the last 3 weeks, that's thin. Y'all should have picked her from the get-go.
Well, that's true, too. Because, honestly, anybody watching her would know that this was going to happen at some point.
And that there's a transition period, yes, for the rookies in the league.
Look, I think it's a bad decision, and you're short of making the best of it. I just really love Dawn Staley, though. I do.
I love Dawn Staley. She usually tells it like it is.
Exactly.
And what I would have preferred her to say is that it was a mistake.
Well,
and frankly, not just her, Arike Ngubuwale, we should have cleared the way for her and made it very clear to her, there's not going to be any politics here. You're one of the best players in the league. We want you as well. It wasn't just Caitlin. They blew it on two of them.
Yeah. No, I mean, they did. But like you said, Arike was her own volition.
Well,
right?
She said she. Well, I said the same thing to you and Brad. She thought there's going to be politics. Well, you need to lower that wall yourself. That's on Team USA. They need to make it.
They need a new coach.
You have pinned this all on her and sort of made her the scapegoat.
Yes.
I can't go down that road because
I
don't.
Down the road.
You just don't like her face. You don't like the way she responded after the loss to the WNBA team. They lost the last time.
Beyond that,
and they still won gold. Like they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. But it's like, you know, again, we're trying to like grow this thing, and we're trying to, you know, make sure that it gets the absolute most eyeballs that we possibly can get.
Don Staley and all of them should have had Caitlin on from the get go, and they should have had Arike Ogunbowale on from the get go.
Look, I know a hater when I see one.
Come out and admit the mistakes.
I know a hater when I see one.
That's when I'll really give
you
the respect.
And that's what Cheryl Reeve is. She is absolutely the president of the Haters Club in WNBA. And she's the Olympic coach. I think that's a conflict of interest as far as I'm concerned.
Well, she got some of that humble pie again in the WNBA All Star weekend then.
Yeah, she's an absolute elite hater. Elite hater. Like when the WNBA season was starting, and like the TV schedule was released, right? Like there was something involved in the Indiana Fever that, you know, the Minnesota Lynx were playing at the same time and were not on. They were moving games. I don't remember exactly what the context was, but basically she responded to a tweet. Someone was saying that they just want Caitlin. It's all about Caitlin. And Cheryl Reeve responded and said that part. You know, like she's a hater of Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
And so she should be removed from her position, because if she can't evaluate objectively who the best fits and best players for her team are, I don't think she should be over the team. You know, she clearly has a personal thing against Caitlin. I don't know what it is. I'm not interested in trying to decipher that. But, you know, you need somebody in there with no agendas, is my view, of any individual player. And she clearly has one. So how are you going to have her in charge? Anybody can coach that team and win, bro. It ain't like Cheryl Reeve is like, hey, unlock some key. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we put you in charge. We'll win gold, bro.
I definitely would.
Who would you play?
But
Caitlin?
I would have had Caitlin on that team.
Would you have played her?
Yeah, I'd have played her. What are we talking about? I'm playing everybody. This is like church league where we're gonna beat these the other countries.
How many minutes?
This
a game?
Isn't like the men's game. Where it was nine other NBA players from other countries 4 years ago or whatever, or no, Dream Team, when they've compared the two, to now it's 60-something.
Yeah.
That's not the case in the WNBA.
Right.
So, no, anybody can coach this team.
How many minutes a game can we get from you, Coach Smith?
Well, she's only getting guaranteed minutes if I've got Angel Reese on the team as well. See, if old Smoothie would have been coaching, I would have had the double-double machine
that
is Angel Reese right next to her. You understand what I'm saying?
Man, really wants to go 3 of 19 from the floor with 10 rebounds. That's crazy. That's nasty work.
Bro, we would still be leading the league in offensive rebounds, about to set a record, even if we hadn't rebounded any of our own misses. It's a fact.
Yep. Yep. It's true.
That's how far ahead of the curve we are when it comes to hitting that glass.
Yeah.
Up in Chicago, fool.
That's what you love, man. You love the board cleaning and the hard work.
And putbacks.
Yeah, I want triple doubles.
We're going to put it back.
I want triple doubles. You know what I'm saying? That's what I like. I like assist records. So let's go with that. That's fine. We can have both. There's room.
I don't see you D'ing up yet either.
Angel.
Are you a defensive liability? Ask yourself that.
No, I'm a plus no matter what.
No, I don't know. You still got work to do,
well, look,
young Ja. Look like a Caitlin trying to model a game after Ja.
Well, look, I'm a defensive liability and you an offensive one. So we put our powers together. We can maybe fix this.
Dude, I am not an offensive liability.
Man, please. Please, you have blinded at least four children with your layups.
You are caught up with the MAGAs and everybody that's looked at this as this is some sort of a conspiracy theory.
It's not
we look to miss. We try to miss so we can get
right.
offensive rebounds. That is ridiculous. That's
no,
why I told
no,
you the stat about it. You take your own
that's
misses out.
You miss,
she's still leading the league.
You miss on accident, right? You try to make and you miss. And so that's worse. I would actually feel better about Angel's game and bag if you intentionally were trying to miss, but you are not. You are giving it everything you've got, and you are still going 3 of 12 at the rim.
Again, get a ring. Any kind before you come over and talk to me and Angel Reese.
What's my record versus you, though? You know?
I got you when it mattered, didn't
and look,
I?
And look at the standings.
I got
standings.
You when it mattered for
and,
a ring,
and
didn't
look, and look at the standings. I mean, just people.
I don't look at the WNBA standings. I let you and Ron Tillery do that.
That's right.
How far behind have we fallen? I thought we're in pause right now.
Yeah, but you
give us a chance. We go, what are we, two games behind the Fever? And you act like it's over.
So yeah, it's actually.
Don't we both have losing records?
Yes. Yeah. So this Fever.
So what you arguing
the
about?
The Fever are 11-15, and the Sky are 10-14. Our win percentage better, bro. Our win percentage better.
I'm not going to have a WNBA argument with you.
You already have, because you chose the wrong side. That's what you did. You chose the wrong side, and that's fine, bro. That's fine. History will be the judge, won't it?
Well, I was right on. Should have had Caitlin from the get go.
Yes,
and I'm no Caitlin
hater.
But this is what you
try to do. You know, we can't just have the discussion about Caitlin without you trying to bring in people
you
that
said
are not relevant.
I'm the coach.
No, but
you said it.
No,
I'm
we didn't.
The coach.
We didn't,
that's
we
when
didn't
Angel
give you
comes
roster
in.
Autonomy, bro. We
you,
didn't.
You
give,
just made me the. You made me the coach.
You're trying to reach beyond your authority here and try to. We gave you one move, bro. On or off. And so you try
to
bring...
First, you come in here talking about Cheryl picked the whole team first. Now you're saying it's not... Now you're
I'm
saying
just
that
to get
the
her
coach
out.
Has no role.
I'm just trying to oust her.
Clearly. Brad and I were trying to replace the Indiana Fever coach early in the season.
Yeah.
Christine Sides.
Yeah, she seems not
she's,
good either.
She's settling down a little bit, though. She might have saved herself.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, you know, again, I would just say...
Not convinced.
I love Don, and we'll ride for Don Staley all
Admit
day.
Your mistake from the get-go. Should have been on from the get-go.
We'll come back, do Respect Burgers, then Jason Fitz going to join us. Stick around. Jason and John, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Jason Fitz scheduled to join us Battle of the Hour or roundabout. So before we do that, though, it's typical of Mondays, I get pull out the old big green egg. Heat it up, start the fire, and I pat out some burgers. Little smash burgers. I pat them out in my hands like I learned at the Memphis Country Club. But I season these a little different than I did back in the day. I season these with respect. In a world full of disrespect, let's do Respect Burgers.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-E-C-T.
Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
All right, I got to give one to NBC. because I was on him pretty tough last week. I said, I know what you're doing, NBC. I know why you got Snoop over there. Your ratings have been tanking the last couple of Olympics. And it's not just Snoop, if you've noticed. They got some of their SNL crew, Colin Jost. He's over in Tahiti covering the surfing. They brought a lot of their people from several of their NBC shows, including Snoop, who, oh, by the way, is going to be on The Voice. It's another part of him being so tied at the hip with NBC. Brought him on to what? To increase the ratings. And I got to be honest with you, I rolled my eyes at it last week. And here I am. I was watching this weekend. We've talked about that. Watched more Olympics than I thought I would. But guess who last night was saying, I just love Snoop. Oh, he's with the swimming family. And he's, did you see that? He's hanging out with a family of swimmers and rooting on one family as America got one gold in swimming. And then and you look up and he's over at the horse stuff and he's just been everywhere. Well, NBC has gone hard on, again, Peyton Manning, another one of those personalities they brought over. We talked about it, Kelly Clarkson. They've gone hard on getting the ratings up, and whether it was the opening ceremony or the first full day of the Olympics on Saturday, it's all up. So you've got to give them credit. It worked. And that was my wife, oh, by the way, that I was doing the impression of. She loves watching Snoop on the Olympics. I think it's eye-rolling stuff, but she absolutely loves it, and so does apparently most of America. Now, as for the opening ceremonies, they delivered more than 32 million viewers in the U.S. across multiple NBC Universal platforms. Obviously, that is up. Viewership up 83%. Since the last COVID challenge summer games were held in Tokyo. So that's up 17.7 million viewers, quite a bit. And again, that was day one coverage. I want to make that clear. The opening ceremony drew 28.6 million viewers, most watched for summer games since 2012. And so again, NBC has gone all in on giving you a show, as Steven Spielberg has talked about, the template for a good story. Well, that is what Paris is, and NBC's trying to tell you a good one. And I guess they've got sort of the advantage of, you've got most of this going off live over in Paris, what, 6 hours ahead of the East Coast. And so you've got a chance to take a look, survey everything live, and then come back with your show in prime time that takes the best of all the live stuff, you know, gives us more features, and they've been taking advantage of it. And the early returns are good, ratings up for the Olympics. All right, moving on. Now, I don't think this is one that I've seen yet, and I was kind of looking for it from local news outlets. But I saw a tweet over the weekend that touched me. It was Richard Davenport, the Arkansas recruiting writer, retweeting the mom of a former MUS player, Deion Stutz. Now, I'm not sure if you guys remember the Deion Stutz story. He was committed to Arkansas, a football player and wrestler over at MUS that we lost last summer, had an accident. Lived in Mississippi, had an accident. I think at the time thought it was an ATV accident. I think it was a vehicle accident, side-by-side vehicle accident is the way to describe it. Lost this young man, as a teenager. And that year, MUS last year, Jeffrey Wright would know this better than anybody, as their play-by-play guy. They wore decals for Deion Stutz, everything else, in a tribute to him for the rest of the season. This kid, again, was a three-star prospect who was headed to Arkansas as a commitment, and thus is why you had Richard Davenport retweeting Deion Stutz's mom over the weekend. And as I dove into this tweet, what it is, and again, there's not a story out there accompanying this, so I was trying to put it together just based on what Deion's mom was tweeting, again, on X. The MUS team, it appears, had gone down to Mississippi. I believe the ranch is in Batesville, where the Stutz family lives, and the team had gone down here a year later to go help mom and Deion's younger brother to go take care of some work on the ranch. They'd gone back a year later. If you see the pictures, you can see like a line of MUS trucks and students or football players, maybe as well as some wrestlers among them, pulling up to this ranch. And here's what Shante Stutz, who's still obviously hurting after the loss of her son last year, is what she wrote. One family, one goal, one honor. What a service. MUS football came to the ranch and helped. Dante, who was Deion's younger brother, said, my brothers are here. So many of them are here. She wrote here in caps, with an exclamation point. Love, honor, family, and service. This is what is getting us through. Dion, you are loved because you loved. Love all of you, Mama Stutz. And I just thought, again, I'm a guy who covered a tragedy such as this. I just remember distinctly Chris Mosby, a former CBHS standout, was headed to Kentucky, had his life cut short of a car wreck. But it was one I remember, you know, Chris Mosby had touched so many, and it was just what made the story so sad that I covered. And this one reminds me so much of that. And here you have this team that considered Stutz, obviously, while he was in school there, while he wrestled for him, while he played football for him, a member of the family. But here, them still taking care of family a year later. I thought it was one of the most touching things I've ever seen, for that team to go down there and do a little work on the ranch with Mama Stutz there and with the younger brother, who obviously was so pleased to see them. And so shout out to MUS football, and I'm assuming MUS wrestling as well, that Stutz was such a part of as well, for just the gesture. And clearly, again, from what I've seen, this was not in the news, just something that Mama Stutz felt the need to tweet about, because, wow, what a gesture. And you're not doing this to have a story written about it. You're doing it because you cared about this young man, you cared about his family, and you still care. So I thought that was a great thing. Also, moving on, John, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. There's a story over at The Athletic. We talk a lot about the NIL and these multimillion-dollar deals, you know, on the football and the basketball levels. That's where we've identified the majority of them. And it's particularly when we're talking about the millions, whether it's the Tennessee quarterback, whether it's what Seth Hennigan's getting, or what he, you know, from Memphis, or what he was offered to leave Memphis. There is a story going on right now in women's softball that you need to be aware of, because I think it's a sign that things are changing there as well. It's over at The Athletic, and I believe her name, and excuse me if I pronounce it incorrectly, but it's Nigeri Kennedy. She played for Stanford last year and is transferring to Texas Tech. She hit the transfer portal after two stellar years at Stanford, which has been slow in terms of NIL and everything else. And so some of their athletes have looked to go elsewhere because, you know, Stanford's been slow on the NIL movement. She got $1,050,024 in NIL from Texas Tech. It's believed to be the highest ever NIL contract for a softball player. Oh, by the way, that you might have thought that number's a little weird. 1,050,024. So the 24 is for her jersey number. The 50,000 is just for living expenses, and the 1,000,000 is just for her. That's how good this young lady is, apparently, having come over from Stanford. And it's just a sign, too, how we're seeing that. She's got a huge social media following. Like, this NIL is trickling down now, where it's not just football players and basketball players benefiting from these huge payouts. You are now having huge payouts, and maybe this is the first of hopefully many for them down in the Olympic sports and on the softball level. And so her family, which was seeking a seven-figure offer from Stanford, did not get it, goes out on the market and gets $1,000,000 from Texas Tech. Shout out to her, and you hope it continues, whether it's women's soccer, whether it's softball, whatever else. You hope that this money continues to trickle down to the Olympic sports, and it's not just all used up by football and basketball. And then finally, just a personal one, I said I would do this, talked to Jeff a little bit about it, just was treated so well by the folks. I'm an old man now, John. You're going to use this against me. I don't need bifocals, I need trifocals. Those are called progressives, and the folks at Eyes for You over on Germantown Parkway, not just Dr. Brown that listens to 92.9, all except for our show, though, John. She's at lunch during our show. She loves Jeff, loves Jeffrey, loves Gabe, doesn't get to listen to us. It wasn't just her that took good care of me. Mariah, as well as Paul, did a fantastic job. I'm looking forward to getting out there this week and picking up my trifocals. I'm getting old, 47 years old. You got to have three levels of sight. But, yes, wanted to say respect Burger to the folks over at Eyes for You on Germantown Parkway.
Respect.
Took good care of old Smoothie.
I'm not wheeling you in and out of the studio, to be clear. Like, that's just not something I'm going to do.
I told my wife, when I look like Red Fox and Harlem Nights later on this week, because my eyes look like, you know, like magnifying glasses. Don't be making fun of me.
Yeah,
look
bro.
Like I'm behind bottle caps.
This is not Sanford and Son, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I don't know what you think I'm supposed to do here. but yeah, man. I'm gonna give a disrespect, dog. It's only qualm is Steve Kerr, who the more and more I watch him, the more and more I lose my belief in him as a coach. Now, again, they killed everybody yesterday, and they would have killed anybody. If the United States shoots 16 of 30 from three, they're going to beat everybody by a million, right?
Mm-hmm.
But his stubbornness in sticking with Joel Embiid in the starting lineup continues to be a mess. They were down 11-1 to Canada in the exhibition in Vegas. They were down 10-2 to Serbia before taking Embiid out. I'm not sure what else you need to see. And then B, just not playing Tatum. Just not playing him at all. He goes from playing in the starting lineup in several games to not playing at all. Like,
he acted like he just forgot to.
Yeah. Just like odd.
Afterwards.
And now he says, well, and then he said today, yeah, he's going to play after.
Right. So like, he's going to get him again and against South Sudan.
Bro, you couldn't have got Tatum in that game yesterday at any point.
He said having Durant threw him off.
Yeah, it's like.
Which is weird because Durant was like he wasn't even the first guy off the bench.
Right.
So I don't know.
So like, I mean, again, your bet was made. Like even if you put him in the final 2 minutes, it wouldn't have changed anything. But the idea that like we can't find a spot for Tatum, like he's just there. Just along for the ride is crazy. I'm like, how the hell did Steph win four titles with this guy? Like, it's kind of nuts to me.
Well, Steph don't have to worry about not playing.
No, I'm saying.
And that's who won the titles.
Well, that's true.
Steph.
That's true.
Draymond, Klay.
But Curry's management, especially in the latter years of the Golden State experiment, have been bad. It's been bad. I used to hold him up really high, and I don't hold him up as high. I think he's a good coach. I used to think he was a great coach. And so some people said now they see why Jordan punched him in the face.
And I believe that was a practice, yes.
Now they see why they did it. Why he did it.
Had to.
Yeah.
Steve was trying to call some shots.
Exactly.
Future coach trying to call some shots. Jordan had to put him in his place.
I've lost a little bit of respect for Steve, I have to say.
Well, keep it. I mean, Steve still.
He's a good one. He's not a great, in my opinion.
Kind of salt of the earth, though, too. Like, what his dad was, like, assassinated. You got to be careful with the whole.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, Steve's.
I'm just talking about him as a coach.
I understand. I thought Steve, the man, was sort of being questioned.
No, just the coach. He could be. He's a great man.
Hey, does Tatum need to bring something to the table?
I mean, I think Tatum has.
Make Steve remember who you are?
I mean, come on, bro. He just did it in the finals. I mean.
Did he?
Last month. It yes.
Did it in the last game.
Yeah, he did it in the last game. He had game two. He had, what, 29, 10, and 8 or whatever. But you're just so fixated on the chocolate that you just can't see anything else. You know, there are other players on the court. But
bro,
we'll let you have it.
Things like will and the will to win, those are factored into greatness.
He could have played 12 minutes yesterday, bro.
Boy, if you put him in the last two, it's just disrespectful.
No, I know, I agree with that. But I'm just saying, like,
put him in last.
Once they retook the lead at the end of the first quarter, bro, you could have got him in there for a few minutes and just.
What does he do? Great.
I mean, he does everything
except think he's Kobe.
He does everything.
Now he does that expertly.
Bro, somebody posted like a meme, like of a text from Kobe.
Yes.
That said, we played the same amount of minutes today. Like it's pretty. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. But it's also funny. Like people are tweeting him, make sure you clean up the Gatorade bottles in the stands before we leave.
Damn.
It's pretty brutal out here.
I just think it's been a hard for a few weeks for him since not winning finals MVP.
I know. He's a great guy,
too. And you
can
make a case that he should have won it, even though I'm clearly in love with Jaylen Brown and the player he became this year during the playoffs.
Right.
And so, what he did to try to save All-Star Weekend.
No, I get sitting Halliburton, to be clear. He stinks. But, I mean, Tatum should have played. He should have played for sure. All right, we'll come back. Jason Fitz going to join us on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. Jason Fitz is a host for Yahoo Sports. Catch him on Fox Sports Radio. Well, thanks every Monday, and he joins us now. Obviously, a lot to get to today, Fitz, Olympics. But want to start with the NFL and a prognostication that you made very quietly, almost, funnily enough, as a throwaway at the end of a segment where we had almost moved on and you came back with a prognostication that feels realer by the day. And that's Dak Prescott not being in Dallas next year. And that's Dak Prescott maybe being a Las Vegas Raider. I have to believe that you feel even stronger about that given the events of the last week and a half.
Yeah, look, this is so simple. And I sat in this morning with my buddy Mike Golick Jr. We were talking to a Cowboys expert there. I said the same thing. To me, the very clear part of this is different than any negotiation we've seen modern-wise, because the only time we've seen a quarterback hit the open market that truly controlled his value was when Kirk Cousins did it, and he got, at the time, unprecedented, fully guaranteed money. Y'all, like, the closer we get to this, the clearer it is that Dak can go anywhere he wants. He cannot be franchised. He cannot be traded. So at this point, and, you know, everybody I've talked to has said the same thing, if the Cowboys don't get a deal done before the start of the regular season, Dak's not going to do one during the season. So what this really comes down to, in my mind, is guaranteed money. I genuinely believe that if a team like the Raiders goes through this whole season and feels like they're a quarterback away in a division where they're taking on Patrick Mahomes, I would not be surprised at all to see a 3 or 4 year deal to Dak in the range of $65 million a year that is fully guaranteed. Every penny of it is going to be spent. I could completely see a team doing that like the Raiders because they are in desperate need to figure out an answer and the draft isn't going to have one. And yeah, when you start seeing the money that goes out to Jordan Love for playing 8 good games, of course. I mean, Dak Prescott's going to have an MVP caliber season and he's going to get his money. And let's not get it twisted, boys. What did we just learn from Kirk Cousins this year? You can even tear your Achilles and still get your money. So Dak doesn't even have an injury risk. He's going to get paid wild amounts of money, and I think this time next year he is the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, and I think probably it's all fully guaranteed.
John and I mean, we've talked about it since you said it. It's been such a light bulb for us that I've actually started to look into, and others have talked about it now, too. It's become more mainstream. But the other teams that might be interested, like you said, Raiders seem like the team that would throw all that guaranteed money and do it. Who else do you think after this season, and again, some things have to play out, I'm figuring, and I wonder if you agree, that the Giants, once you figure out, because you've got Malik Nabers now, that Daniel Jones is not the guy and this is a contract you can get off, that they might be one of those teams that's interested in bringing over Dak, and what would be a better coup than bringing over Dak from Dallas? I'm just curious, other teams that might be in the mix that you see that would go with the Raiders where Dak's got more of a choice and a bidding war as opposed to it just being one team. Figure there are a few, right?
Oh, yeah. No, the Giants are a huge part of this list. Agreed. I absolutely believe that the Giants are big, big, big on this list. Also, though, like, what happens if Aaron Rodgers isn't particularly great this year for the Jets? Are the Jets in the market? I mean, what about the Steelers? I think Russell is completely – the Steelers got a one-year – and this is the thing with Russell Wilson. I think everybody's wrong that thinks Russell Wilson is going to start. There's so little advantage to the Steelers starting Russell Wilson. If he plays lights out this year, what are they going to do? Are they going to give him $40 million a year? No, they're not. So they're going to give Justin Fields a chance, and God only knows how that's going to work. So the Steelers are sort of clean slate capable going in to next year. Even a team like the Titans, if Will Levis isn't the answer, the Titans are going to be able to turn around and put the money into Dak if they want to. So, those teams stand out to me.
Yeah, it's time for the Raiders to make a splash.
I told you about Titans, John. Don't like Levis.
And that stadium moment.
And they got a new stadium coming, Fitzy, right? So you got to put something in there.
But, I mean, so does the Raiders, right?
Oh, yeah, same reasons.
I think the Raiders make the most sense for very simple. Like, the Raiders have locked up so much money on players like Max and Christian Wilkins. We all know that.
Exactly.
Devontae, they have an out at the end of this year with Devontae. And I think realistically what happens is the Raiders this year struggle on offense. They take the out respectfully to Devontae, and they rework the contract. And then Devontae steps back and says, I'm only coming back here if I love the quarterback. And that's the reason that the Raiders then turn around and give Dak whatever it takes. And then Devontae loves playing for AP, loves playing in Vegas. There's a chance he sticks around with Dak. I stack those logic blocks in a way that makes a lot of sense to me. And if you're Mark Davis, right now I don't think Shedeur Sanders is the answer. I don't think any of the quarterbacks. I don't think Quinn Ewers is the answer. If you're Mark Davis, at some point you've got to have a viable quarterback that can compete against Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Speaking of which, God, we are just so damn stupid. It's disgusting. I mean, it's likely that Mahomes would have done whatever he wanted to against us anyway, but it's just like, why even do that? And by the way, it's a bit player. It's not even like a, you know, it's just ridiculous.
The only thing I'd say to that, because you're not wrong in the mindset of it, but I don't know if you heard the Kelce Brothers podcast where Travis Kelce made it clear that they got smoked by the Raiders because, you know, Antonio Pierce had them lathered up into a frenzy. And that was months after the season. I think Kansas City is already as fired up for Raiders week as humanly possible.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any, like, that's like saying, you know, Superman had a Red Bull before he flew around the world. I don't think it's going to make a tangible difference.
No, you're right. I think
they're already going to be possessed this season.
No, you're right. That went on Christmas. They probably have not forgotten that one. And so,
no.
And so, but I think the puppet, I think Kermit the Frog is worth the touchdown. One more touchdown is what I would say for Patrick Mahomes. But on him, you know, it's an interesting time for him because you're seeing all these other, you know, quarterbacks get big deals. Jordan Love, obviously, Tua got his big deal this weekend. The list goes on. And yet, you know, Mahomes is just right there. Mahomes is right there plugging along. For him, do you think he, you know, ever gets bored just like being the best ever and just going back to back? And like what goes into it for Pat every year, you think? Because it just feels like, you know, he just he goes about his business so quietly and just keeps producing.
Yeah, I don't think at this point he's sort of made it clear that the money doesn't motivate him the same way. And not for nothing, but he's invested in so many businesses around Kansas City. He's invested in sports teams in the area. Like, I think he's really committed chief for life. And as long as he's in that top range, he's going to be very happy. Like, this is just real. At this point, for every other team in the AFC West, just prepare yourself that there's at least a decade left. At least a decade left. And through that decade, I have a hard time imagining that Andy Reid quits anytime soon because he's having a blast and he's working with a quarterback he loves. So everybody else, now you got to decide. Are you going to do what the AFC East did for years and just sort of fold while you're losing to Brady? Or are you going to try and hope that you can stay in the wild card contention year in and year out? And I think that's got to be the real plan. But also, I mean, it's a decade. There's at least a decade left of losing to him. I do think that has to be part of the construct as you look at your team and you build your team. You got to know what you're going up against. And if the answer is we got to draft somebody that can take on Mahomes, what you're really saying is we've got to draft one of the top three quarterbacks of all time, because that's what you're taking on at this point. That's just impossible. So you better hope the rest of your roster is good, and then you better hope you get lucky.
You know, John last week had the Right Angle Sports folks on me last week, and they're high on Philadelphia, lower on Dallas, but they like Philly in the East, and one of the reasons was because you've got, what now, Fangio on the defense and Kellen Moore on the offense, and just talked about how they expect, better, whether it's better communication, all of it to filter on down and us not see, you know, what we saw at the end of last season, which was them just falling apart. I'm just curious, when you look at what Philly did last season and you factor in the coaching changes, but you take away a Jason Kelce, I'm just curious where you are, Fitzy, on Eagles. I know they've added Saquon. Are you just expecting them to, bam, be back and they're looking like one of the most dominant teams in the NFC, or they got some questions to answer still?
No, I think that the answering the question of Kelce is absolutely massive.
Agree.
They lost some guys on the defensive side of the ball too. Like, I think the presumption that Philly just runs it back doesn't make any sense to me. And then the other part of this is, look, I understand that we only think about the playoffs. This is what we did with Buffalo last year, and I warned everybody. Just because Buffalo can't beat Kansas City in the playoffs doesn't mean they're not going to be a good regular season team. Just because the Cowboys melt in the playoffs every year, they've won 12 games three seasons in a row.
Yep.
Like, why do we think that there's something? And then everybody says, well, they're not going to run the football. Tony Pollard accounted for 61 yards a game last year and averaged 4 yards a carry. That is not juggernaut yardage that needs to be replaced. Like, you're talking about minimal replacement need there. And then people say, well, the contracts. Okay, the contracts are something we're thinking about now. Do you think that the contract is going to be on anybody's mind on a Sunday when they're taking on Washington? It's just not. So, like, I think this is where we got to stop allowing first take and like, frankly, I'll say this politely as I can. We got to stop watching idiots that don't watch football that yell about hot topics. We got to stop allowing that to actually impact our nuanced football conversations. The Cowboys on offense have been one-dimensional for three straight years, and they've won 12 games every year doing it. The Cowboys are going to be exactly who they've been. They're going to win 12 games. They're going to get to the playoffs, and then we're all going to presume that they choke. And maybe they do. But realistically, why are they not going to win 12 games? And then everybody turns around and says, well, there hasn't been a repeat division winner in that division for 20 years. I don't care. There's nothing to do. Like, this Cowboys team has won 12 games 3 years in a row. Tell me why they're not at least an 11-win game. Like, I went out, I'm very open about this. I went out and I put serious cash on the over win total for this, because this is just the stupidest thing I've seen in a long time, that we are undervaluing the Cowboys to this level.
Wow. Like that, John.
All right, well, there we go. We're at odds. We're at odds here, Fitz. We're on different sides. One must win. And I have the over on the Eagles as well.
Pitch you guys, but I loved where he's at, because I felt like I was on an island last week.
Well, you can
I'm just saying, I got G's. with a pearl on the win total for the Cowboys. So, like, I went big on that one last month. When it careened down to 8.5, I was like, you guys have lost your minds. So I am just going to sit back. They're gonna use my money while they sit on it, and then they're going to pay it all out to me, and it's going to be a merry dang Christmas.
Now, let's
living through 50.
Let's talk about that. 8.5 and 10.5, two very different bets. Two very different bets, right? So, I mean, we could both win easily. In fact, there's a lot of room for us to both win our bets. That's if you true. Have 8.5 and I have under 10.5.
Yeah, I'd still take the over on 10.5. I wouldn't take G's on it, but I'd still put hundreds on the over.
I don't think I realized how much of a gambler you are.
There's a few bets a year that I do stupid things. This was one of those stupid things. I may or may not have been a little out of my mind at that moment. I might have partied a little too hard. And I was like, you know what? I'm doing it. I'm doing the thing. So, you know, this is why I shouldn't spend that much time near a sports book. That's what happens to me.
We're talking to Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports here on the show. He joins us every Monday. Speaking of partying, the Olympics opening ceremony was one for the books. Gojira had the headless Marie Antoinette. I don't know what it was. It was wild. It was controversial. As a performer yourself, what did you think of the festivities?
I will not allow the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, to be cowards. That's what I think. Like, so let me walk you through this. Like, when you do a concert and you're putting together your tour, one thing you do is you sit down with a computer program that has a digitized version of every person, and you load the MP3s of the songs in, like live versions of the songs. And then the video and lighting people can show you on a computer what everything's going to look like. So before you start a tour, the band, the management, the record label, the booking agent, everybody sits down and they watch this little laptop that shows you everything to expect. Now, some of it might look a little different, but 99% of it, you know what's happening. I will not believe ever in my life that the International Olympic Committee did not see advances on every ounce of that opening ceremony, because it has to go through standards and practices for the people that actually run the thing. So for the IOC to take portions of it down afterwards, and for everybody to sort of bury their head in the sand like France did something that was awful, I would remind you that whatever France did was approved by everybody involved in that process. So the fact that people are sitting here blaming France and not blaming the Olympic Committee, not pointing at NBC, like, you want to tell me that standards and practices in TV didn't see what was coming? Everybody knew what was coming. They just decided it was going to be worth it until people freaked out, and then it was reactionary. Like, that's such a cowardly way to do it. I thought some of the artsy stuff was just dumb. I really thought it was beautiful once it got in front of the Eiffel Tower. I thought a lot of the rest of it was just pointless. But if that's how France wants to show their culture and their art, who am I to tell them what to do? It's their country. It's their opening ceremony. I just hope when LA has it in 4 years, we keep it simple. We make it a lot more to the point, and we do something that America can be proud of to the level that France is obviously proud of.
Fitz, you're the best, man. Appreciate your time, as always.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you, boys. Have a great week.
Yes, sir. It's Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports. Good stuff there from him, as always. We'll come back, wrap this up on a Monday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. All right, so I gather that we have meddled, correct, in men's gymnastics?
Oh, no, you're a little spoil it.
Oh,
but
sorry.
Yes, but come on. It happened, so it's out there, and you can see it on ESPN and other things.
I don't know,
Brad, are you doing big things tonight? It's kind of you I was worried about spoiling.
This isn't like opening ceremony. After Friday night, I'm cool.
I actually watch early. Like I said, I like to see it live.
Yeah, I heard that.
So I know what's happening at night. I can, you know, kind of have to hold that over my wife because she hasn't watched the live. But yes, men's gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
We're back.
Yeah, I actually enjoy it. What do you like watching the Olympics, John? Like the some of these off events, like gymnastics and swimming.
He's not watching them.
No, I mean,
he's only watching basketball.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the only me and you were doing.
There's not like
them.
That. I mean, I know
not,
some
none of them.
I was like, some gymnastics is a tough one for me though, because I can't relate to gymnastics,
bro. If it's good enough for Tom Cruise, who was in the audience watching Simone, it should be good enough for you.
We're different people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I root for it. Like, go do your thing. I hope you have all the gold medals. But
you know who was there, too? Sarah Jessica and Matthew Broderick.
Oh.
They're watching the greatness that is Simone Biles. She does many a celebrity.
The celebs out there, it's something, man. They're all there.
Let me tell you something. Sex and the City?
Yes.
It's aging.
My wife still watches the damn show, and it's been dead for, what, a decade?
Let me tell you, it's older sex now.
Yeah, it's grandma's.
If you catch my drift.
Oh, B. Bro.
Yeah.
My wife loves that show way too much. Like, watches it on demand like a maniac.
And seeing Ferris Bueller as an old man, it just jars me every time because he's just kind of locked
old
in.
Folks.
Matthew Broderick's just locked in as a teenager in my mind.
Yeah.
When he was in Project X. But he's an older Matthew Broderick now.
You know who's aged well? Ralph Macchio. He looks like he did when he was in Karate Kid, for God's sakes.
Wasn't he just on Fallon or something?
Yeah.
He's
doing the rounds now because I guess they got
Cobra Kai.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's one of John's
favorite
shows.
He was on CBS Sunday Morning yesterday. That's my show. So he looked good.
Yeah.
Daniel LaRusso.
Yeah, shout out to, baby.
Who I don't, I'm not sure if he was there to see Simone Biles.
No,
but it did feel like most of the rest of Hollywood was.
Well, good stuff. Good stuff indeed, Olympics.
John, are you upset that Fitz is not with you on the Eagles-Cowboys thing?
Absolutely not in the slightest.
All right. I could already sense it.
I felt it smelled like it a little bit.
No,
I
may not have him on next week.
No.
Yeah, you are a cut. I think he's going
to
go
you're
get...
You're allowed to have different opinions, no doubt about it.
I'm kidding. I'm giving you...
One will be wrong, right, one will be wrong. He's got 8.5, though.
Yeah, he got a very low number.
Low number.
Yeah, very different, indeed. Yeah.
And you both can be right, as you
said. He said he'd play over 10.5, though. That's where he would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us on the show today. Jeffrey and Company up next. Connor Dunningham this week as Company. Going to do it for us. For Jason. I'm John. We're gone.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.